First question, how did Yang get here? Where's his support coming from?
Well, his support is an interesting jumble of the populace. It ranges from, you know, rich, notable top techies in places like Silicon Valley and New York and L.A., but it also is drawing from what we would think generally as Trump space, younger, predominantly white, predominantly male voters who are feeling left behind and anxious about the future and angry about the direction of the country, are giving Andrew Yang a hard look. And in some cases, what I experienced on the campaign trail with Andrew not too long ago in South Carolina, have shifted their allegiances from Trump to Yang and pledge their votes to not Trump in his reelection effort, but to Yang in 2020.
What are some of his similarities with President Trump?
He's an outsider. That's probably the first way to answer that question, an utter non-politician. Frankly, in some ways, more of an outsider, political outsider than Donald Trump ever was. He is a 44-year-old entrepreneur, a father of two, has never run for any office of any kind before running for president in this cycle. Also, there are some other similarities that you can't help but notice when you're out and about with him on the campaign trail. He is sort of in a different way, but is a say anything, do anything, to hell with convention, kind of filter-free candidate. You know, he says it like it is, so to speak, in a different way than Donald Trump, but there are a ton of similarities, too. You are forced to, or at least I was forced to, sort of consider this odd, strange, unexpected Trump-Yang Venn diagram when I was out on the trail with him.
And the differences with the president? I'm sure there are countless ones, but some of the more salient?
Yeah, well, he certainly is less divisive, shall we say, than the president. You know, he is not blaming immigrants. He is not blaming brown people for these ills and for the economic downturn for so much of the population. He is blaming automation. He is blaming artificial intelligence, the coming calamity, and in some ways, the calamity that's already here of lost manufacturing jobs. Andrew Yang squarely blames automation, increased automation for these job losses rather than increased immigration. And so that is probably, certainly, the most notable difference between Andrew Yang and Donald Trump. And a lot of the people I talk to out and about, voters, agree with that. Evidently, when they hear that from Andrew Yang, it is, at this point, a more compelling argument than the argument of the, you know, invasion of immigrants that is causing these economic problems.
Right. As you mentioned, he, and I learned this reading the piece, he uses colorful language, much of which can't be repeated on the air, but it's,
sure,
it certainly matches his colorful personality. Tell us an interesting story from the time you spent with him, which reflects his ebullience.
Yeah, there is a real humor about him and a joviality and self-deprecating humor as well. I had read his two books before spending time with him on the campaign trail, and in his earlier book, he talks about how as a 20-something, when he was an avid weightlifter, named his pecs Rex and Lex, you know, Rex for the right pec and Lex for the left. And so we got on the topic, rolling around in his campaign mobile, of his weightlifting, and I brought up Rex and Lex, and not only did he confirm that he had named his pecs back in his 20s, but he then sort of channeled Rex and Lex and talked to them in front of me and in front of his campaign manager and his staff in this hilarious way. I'll probably leave it at that and have people go to politico.com and read the story and read that part of the story.
Yeah, heck of a tease there. You had referred to him speaking very candidly and dark with respect to where the country's headed. Is this what the country wants to hear? I mean, can he succeed at winning the vote with this kind of plain-spoken despair that you refer to in the piece?
Yeah, obviously that remains to be seen, but, you know, I guess one way to answer that question would be to say that much of Donald Trump's message in the 2016 cycle was exceptionally dark. In his inaugural speech, he coined the phrase American carnage. So the idea of a dark message working electorally is certainly not unprecedented, and we don't have to go too far to see an example of that. I think one reason it's working to the extent that it is for Andrew Yang at this point is that he leavens this incredibly dark message with this lightness I referred to, this joviality and this humor. And so as you're sitting there listening to this incredibly dystopian picture of the immediate future, and even in some respects the present, you're also find yourself sort of laughing with him and laughing with the others watching him. You know, there is a less scary way to deliver a message that should scare us. And I think, too, you know, it is an anxiety that many people feel, and not just lower socioeconomic portions of the population. Everybody understands that we are in the middle of a quite difficult economic transition, and how will that work for this portion of the population or that portion of the population. So I don't think folks listening to Andrew Yang think he's wrong in, you know, the most broad brush way. They are looking for solutions. He's offering some solutions. How realistic they are, who knows? But I think the main reason it is resonating with the people it's resonating with is that it is delivered in this way that is more palatable, and it has a lot to do with kind of his self-deprecating humor and his ability to be a bit comedic on the campaign trail, too.